I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. And I think you've stood enough, so I'm not going to ask you to stand for the scripture. We have two scriptures this morning, one from the Old Testament and one from the epistles from the Apostle Paul to the letter, to his letter to the Ephesians. So this is the word of God from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west and north and south, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all people. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with song. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all people. And from Ephesians chapter 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, therefore, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is in all and through all and over all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word, which is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And your word is the word of life. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, right now to do your good work within us, that we might see you, hear you, and live for your kingdom. So now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so I'm just going to apologize ahead of time that this is probably not going to be a typical Lenten sermon. There is not a big focus on repentance or mourning, but I really do believe and think that today's word is actually going to help us on our way to Easter. To help us on our way, to help our hearts go deeper in preparation to celebrate the unbelievably good news of the gospel, the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how to live out that life and that truth. So, we have the two scriptures. We've got Old Testament, Psalm 107. We've got Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. We've got the New Testament, and they're going to come together. So both of these scriptures give us instructions. And in fact, they're not just instructions, they're exhortations. So what that means is, this is not a recommendation. This is not, from God's word, a lukewarm suggestion. This is an exhortation, an instruction to the people of God. So Psalm 107, we're going to start with that one. That tells us not just once, but repeatedly, over and over in Psalm 107, it says, tell your story. Give thanks to the Lord and tell the story of what God has done for you. God has done marvelous, miraculous, wondrous deeds. Thank God. Tell God about it. Don't keep it to yourself. Shout it out. Sing it out. Tell the story of God's goodness to you. Now, if you look at the Psalms, the Psalter, all through the Psalms, all through them, we are exhorted to do this thing. But all through the Old Testament, not just the Psalms, it's there. I don't have time to list them all, but I'm just going to give you a couple. A few more from the Psalms, but some other places in the Old Testament too. So 1 Chronicles, for example, says, "Declare God's glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds for all people." The prophet Isaiah in chapter 63 says, "I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us, yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses." Psalm 66, actually, David is inviting us to hear his testimony. He says, "Come and listen, all of you who fear God. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me." And in Psalm 105, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known the deeds, his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wondrous works." So you get that. All through the whole Testament, we are exhorted to tell our story of all the good things that God has done. So now, Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In chapter 4, one of my favorite chapters of all time, Paul says, he's instructing the believers in Ephesus, and he tells them to live out their lives in ways that reflect what God has done for them. He's saying, live out your testimony. Live out this marvelous, wonderful, miraculous thing that God has done for you. He's saying to the believers there, live out your testimony. So let's just review for 2 seconds what he is telling them to remember. What is their testimony? Their testimony is the gospel. Their testimony is that they have been called into Christ Jesus. They've been called as daughters and sons of the King of Kings, who rescued them from the dominion of darkness and brought them into the kingdom of the Son he loves. They've been brought out of that darkness and into this beautiful kingdom where now they are no longer slaves. They're no longer in bondage to sin. They're no longer dying. They're children of the King. So, Paul says, live out that calling, live out that testimony by being humble, gentle, patient, loving, and by keeping the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So I believe with all my heart, from my head down to my toes, that these scriptures belong together for this reason. And that is that when we, the body of Christ, share our testimonies, it unifies us like nothing else can. The beautiful truth of the kingdom of God is that testimonies bring us together and unify us, and it blesses the church like nothing else can. And I think it's safe to say that right now, everybody, we could use a little more unity. I think it's safe to say that we're kind of limping as a global church, as local churches, as national churches. We're limping in our unity. We're wounded and limping. Now, if we, on the one hand, look through the lens of history at the church and thinking about disagreements and disunity, well, We had them right from the jump, right from the very beginning. Let's think about the disciples. Let's think about the early church and all the disagreements and disunity. Let's think about the institutional church down through the ages of time. Think about every denomination and non-denomination, Catholic, Protestant, whatever. All of that is rife, is overflowing with disunity and disagreements. This is actually nothing new. But on the other hand, it may be because we all have so much access to local, national, and global things happening, it feels like right now we are in a moment that feels worse than ever when it comes both inside and outside of the church, when it comes to division, disunity. And actually, when you think about Ephesians chapter 4, what Paul lists later as what we need to turn from and get away from, the things are bitterness, anger, rage, slander. It feels like we are in a moment where that is overflowing. So how can testimonies bring us together and bless the body of Christ like nothing else can and defeat all of those things? I want to start by sharing this story of something called Gather 25 that just happened a few weeks ago. I don't know if any of you knew about it or participated in it. I just learned about it a few weeks from our pastor. I didn't know about it until after the fact. But Gather 25 was this global gathering broadcast event from Christians all over the planet that were gathering together to tell the story and the mission of the church. And it was an invitation for, right now there's something like 2.5 billion Christians. It was an invitation for all the Christians all over the world to get together to worship, to pray, and then be called to go out into the world in a new movement of sharing the love of God. This was 25 hours, Gather 25. And it was something. I watched a lot of the broadcasts. If you want to go to find out about it, just go on YouTube and Google Gather 25. There were events in Romania, Malaysia, New Zealand, Peru, Rwanda, the United Kingdom, the United States, and a bunch of undisclosed locations because Christians are being persecuted in those countries. It had to be secret. It was this breathtakingly beautiful expression of the worldwide church. There were Catholics, there were Protestants, there were very different denominations, there were non-denominations. It was so beautiful. Every single one of those gatherings had a testimony in there somewhere, someone sharing their testimony, someone saying, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. As different and unique as each person's testimony was, each testimony witnessed to one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It was beautiful to behold. Sharing our testimonies bear witness to so many things, and I'm just going to go over four. But the first thing is that they bear witness to the foundational truth that every human being, every one of us, is desperate for, which is that God is, and I am beloved of God. I belong to God. And sharing that testimony defeats the enemy's pernicious lie, the oldest lie of the enemy, that he is always trying to get us to believe, which is the opposite, which is God isn't, you are not loved, you do not belong. So If you remember when Jesus was about to begin his ministry, the devil tested him in the wilderness, and every single time, every single temptation began with the devil questioning Jesus' identity. If you are the Son of Man, if you are the Son of Man, if you are the Son of God, our identity is what the devil comes after. Testimonies completely go against this lie. So the devil is always trying to get us to believe we're not loved, that we are alone, that actually there's no hope for you. You don't have a bright future. What's in your future is darkness and death. He will try to use every broken and horrible thing in this world as proof for his lie. Every disease, every accident, every abuse, poverty, greed, every horrible and broken thing, the enemy tries to bring us to attack our identity, to say, you are not beloved, there is no God, right? And he is a liar. And he's trying to get you and get us always to believe that identity lie. You must be unworthy of anything good, of anyone good, of anything kind, of anything true. But that is a lie. That is a lie. Because the truth is that no matter what comes, and guess what? We are human. So horrible and broken things are going to happen to us. This is the world that we live in. But whatever comes, God says, I will be with you. You are mine. I love you. For God so loved the world, the Lord Jesus came. God gave his life to rescue me, to rescue you. And in his faithfulness, he lives within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And our testimonies, our stories, as unique and different as every single one of us is, they proclaim this truth. When you stand up or when you sit down and tell somebody your testimony, you are saying, God is, and God loves me, and I am not alone. I have experienced this. And when we share our testimonies together, the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirits that we are the children of God. You and I, we are beloved children of the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. That's the first way that testimonies unify us and bless the body of Christ, the church. So the second way is that testimonies, sharing our testimonies, keep us focused on the most important thing. Just like Gather 25, as different as everybody was there, as probably lots of disagreements that they would get to if they had gone into any of that, but they didn't. They focused on the most important thing, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is the most important thing, and then we're supposed to love him, love one another, and go out into the world and tell everybody. That is the most important thing, and sharing our testimonies focuses us on the important things, while all the other things can take away our focus, sap us of our power, and keep us focused on all the wrong things. So my favorite story that explains this, or that proves this, is my Jacob Verberg story. Trevor, you know it well. So Jacob Verberg, when Trevor and I were first starting out in our ministry in 1994, we're just starting New City Kids. And at that time, 1994, the Christian Reformed Church, which I had known nothing about before I met this guy, They were still like really in the thick of all of the disunity around the ordination of women. And I know that there's still disagreements about that, but it was foreign to me. I had grown up with female pastors. That was the Presbyterian Church had been ordaining women for like 25 years before I even started to be aware of anything. Anyway, this is the setting for Trevor and I in 1994. We're just starting out our ministry. So we go up and take a little trip up to Vergennes, Vermont, where there's this enclave of Christian Reformed churches and people who are all like from the Netherlands, and they have thick Dutch accents, and most of them are dairy farmers. Of course, there's teachers and there's nurses, but a lot of them were dairy farmers. So we go up to visit Trevor's dear friend, Sander Verberg. We stay with his parents, Jacob and Henny. And they have very thick Dutch accents, which I'm going to try and do, but I'm bad at it, so just be warned ahead of time. But these are the most loving, hospitable, faithful, beautiful, hardworking people you could ever want to meet. We loved them. They invited us to stay at their home. So there we go. We're up in Vergennes, Vermont. And the second day we're there, Jacob calls me over to come sit with him. Come, he says, sit down with me. And then he opened up his Bible and he said, Ja, I want to show you the scripture because I think it's not okay for the woman to preach. And so we had a good discussion for a few minutes. He shared the scriptures, I shared my scriptures, and I knew that we were not going to agree and come out to the same conclusion. It was obvious, I was ordained already. But what I began to pray about while we were in this process was, Lord, give me a chance to tell my testimony, which he did. And so I got to tell him, I said, I was 10 years old. The Lord met me in a powerful way. I became a Christian. He saved me when I was 10. And then in his faithfulness, when I was wandering far from him all through high school, all through college, I was proclaiming to be a Christian, but I wasn't acting like it at all. But in his faithfulness by the Holy Spirit, he drew me back to himself. He called me in a very powerful way to preach the gospel. And then Trevor and I are there starting this new ministry to reach and preach the gospel to these hundreds of kids and teenagers at New City Kids. And I told him his call in my life was unmistakable. Like, I have to, I'm compelled to preach the gospel in obedience to my faithful Savior and my love for him. And do you know, after I got to share that, he looked at me and there was so much love and respect in his eyes. And together we were in the love of the Lord at that moment. And he closed his Bible and he says, Ja, an this we agree to disagree, but let's focus on Jesus and his love. Do you know that Jacob and Hanny Verberg sent New City Kids money generously? They supported our ministry, the pastor preaching. They supported that ministry. And then a few years later, they even gathered up a bunch of their old Dutch friends from their church and drove down to New City Kids in the heart of the worst neighborhood in Jersey City. They came to visit our ministry. They came to encourage us. They were amazing supporters, even though we had that disagreement. Sharing our testimonies, friends, keeps us focused on the most important things. And our testimonies, number three, proclaim the very heart of God and point us to where we are all headed. The breathtakingly beautiful and diverse family of God, every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. God's heart is for everyone, everywhere to be in his family. Revelation, this is my favorite in Revelation, says it beautifully. As after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude. No one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell down on their faces before the throne. They worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." That great multitude, that massive party of diversity is where every single one of us is headed. Every culture, every language, every tribe, it's at the very heart of our Father, our Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing more beautiful and encouraging to me than when we keep hearing the stories. The stories are not stopping. The stories keep coming. There's stories from Germany, Afghanistan, Australia, Ukraine, Paraguay, Palestine, Tajikistan. These testimonies point us to where we are headed, where we are all headed, and it's the very heart of God. Together, all of us in unity. And sharing our stories proclaims that Jesus himself is our peace. Paul asked us, keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Sharing our testimonies bring us to proclaim that he himself is our peace. Because when I read that earlier, what I didn't say or get into at the time was keeping the unity of the Spirit is something that I'm really bad at, and I think not a lot of us are very good at it. Keeping the unity of the Spirit is something that I struggle with. And I think it's because we don't have the power to do it in and of ourselves, right? I don't have the resources. I don't have it in me to be humble or gentle or patient. Patient is a big one. Trevor can tell you that about me. I don't have it in me to be forgiving or to love my enemies. I mean, the list is long of all of the things that we're supposed to be doing, right? And guess what? I don't have it in me, and I kind of am bad at keeping the unity of the Spirit. But sharing our testimonies brings us back into our weakness and into the strength of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus fills us with the power of the Holy Spirit, then we have the ability, we have the power to do these things, especially keeping the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That needs to come, the unity of the Spirit needs to come through the bond of peace, and the bond of peace is not a what, it's a who. It is the person of Jesus. Jesus is the great I am, the light of the world, the bread of life, the way, the truth, the life, the good shepherd, the Alpha and the Omega, and he is the bond of peace. Isaiah 53 says, "He, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." In John 19, the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha, and there they crucified him. And now in Ephesians 2, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, and he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, and in one body reconciling us to God through the cross, by which he put to death our hostility, and through him we all have access to the Father by one Spirit. Our testimonies, sharing our testimonies, bear witness to the gospel that he himself is our peace. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. He makes this possible. So friends, what better way to demonstrate all of this than to make space for someone to share their testimony? And this morning, as the ending, I have something to say just a little bit afterwards, but I've asked Sharon, and she graciously has agreed to share her testimony this morning.
Thank you, Linda. I want to say first, I didn't know what Linda's sermon was going to be, and she had no idea what my testimony is going to be, but I see God is at work. Yep, when Linda first asked me, I was like, sure, I'll do it. It's out of my comfort zone. I'm not necessarily a person who easily puts things into words, and it's not like I have this amazing dramatic story that I usually associate with testimonies, but Linda assured me that all I needed to do was share when Jesus became real to me. And so I thought about it, and God brought back a memory I hadn't shared with anybody, and I just shared it with Sid the first time this week. And I realized that that was my first memory of knowing Jesus. And I know that it was preceded by my family, my mom, my dad, sharing the love of Jesus with me. And even though this memory happens when I was about 3.5 to 4 years old, I was, you know, maybe just 4. God had already been speaking to me and teaching me through my parents to hear his voice. You know, it says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. And even at that young age, I knew his voice. I knew his presence. And this is just the memory that God brought to me that I hadn't thought of for a while. It was when, like I said, I was maybe 3.5. Maybe just 4. And my Oma is the Dutch word for grandma, she had died. And we were in Chicago area at my grandpa's house. And it was nighttime. And our whole family was sleeping together in the upstairs room. And I remember I was crying quietly to myself because I didn't want to wake anybody up. And And I was just thinking about how my Oma was now with Jesus. And I knew it. I knew it was real. And I remember just talking to Jesus and just crying in my sorrow and knowing the presence of Jesus with me. Even though I couldn't read, I didn't know all the theology, I knew his presence and his love and his comfort. I later, as I studied his word, knew it was the peace that passes all understanding that I experienced. And I know that throughout my life, I experienced that presence. And it wasn't a huge dramatic thing. It was the still small voice. It was that still small voice that said, "Sharon, that's not a good path to go down. That's not going to end well. That's walking away from my love." And just it's always been there, that still small voice. My mom was very musical and surrounded me my whole life with music. And so I think that has always been a way that I share my testimony. So I feel like I'm going to do this. So a song that has always meant a lot to me, I'll just sing the first verse, is "When Peace Like a River." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Brothers and sisters, you each have a story to tell. Every single one of us has a testimony. Sharing our testimonies keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace and bless the church like nothing else can. So let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for who you are and for who you beautifully call us to be, your beloved, that you adore and love us with an everlasting love, and you have called us into the kingdom of the Son you love. We thank you, Father, we thank you, Jesus, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for you have done great things, and it is marvelous in our sight. So I ask now, God, I'm going to pray a bold prayer, Lord. I'm going to pray that sharing our testimonies becomes a thing, that it becomes a movement, that it becomes maybe even the movement of revival that we need in our world today. I know there are lots of amazing things that you are doing all across the globe that maybe we don't even hear about. We heard about Gather 25, but Lord, I'm praying just for this congregation right now that you would do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, and do something new with sharing testimonies. Because on my way driving here, I passed so many apartments and housing developments and houses, and Lord, you know that there are, even though there's tons of churches around here, there's tons more people that need to know your peace, that need to know your love, that need to know these people. I belong to God. I am a beloved daughter or son of the King. So I'm going to ask boldly before your throne of grace and mercy to begin a movement of testimonies, Lord, that we can give praise to your name, be unified, and experience the power of the Holy Spirit as we share our testimonies and as you bring people who are still in darkness and under the weight of the dominion of the enemy, to bring them to your life, to your beautiful life and love. Help us all. Give us courage, God. Give us strength in the power of your name, Jesus. Amen.